This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.
Tom Lee Hockey has become part of our morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind this, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
He says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause, presented by the law offices of Pond Lahaki Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
And a good Saturday night, everyone, and welcome into a live edition of The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause as we broadcast to you live on this Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're presented by Pond Lahaki Giordano, and we've got a great live show for our listening audience tonight, J. Doc. We'll kick it off in just a moment or two, but let me get some opening thoughts from you and welcome you into the live broadcast. You've been on the road the last couple of weeks as we continue to push forward with our mayoral candidate conversations. You're doing a great job with your one-on-ones. They will resume next week, but nice to have you back in studio and be live tonight.
It's great to be here, Joe, and it's great to have a live show. And you mentioned, obviously, we're doing our Meet the Mayoral Candidates shows here on the Labor Show, and been having a fantastic time, in the process of doing that. We've got some incredible candidates. The pool is very, very strong. And I'm just honored to represent the show and be able to interview some fantastic people. And like you said, it's great to be live tonight because the individuals we're going to talk to tonight, the story's big. The story is in your face, and we're here to be a part of it and to let the people know what's going on, man.
All right, good stuff. Also, a little bit later on, before we get out of here at the top of the hour, right before the top of the hour, we'll let everybody know about our upcoming Legends of Labor big event scheduled for March 4th. So we look forward to that. And it's that time of the year again, the All-Star Labor Classic now coming into focus. We'll talk more about that over the next couple of weeks. Our special guest tonight to kick us off, J. Doc, we're going to deal with the Temple University Graduate Student Association issue that's been going on. Many of our listeners here on 1210 WPHT have seen the story. I'm not sure they understand the details. Our objective tonight, and we'll kick it off with Evan Kassoff, who's the staff organizer and the former president of TUGSA, and TUGSA is the Temple University Graduate Student Association. We'll kick it off with Evan, and then Belinda Peter will join us momentarily. She's a member and also a strike captain. Let's get Evan into the conversation. Evan, welcome into the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having us. It's a big honor to be on the show with you guys.
It's great to have you on, Evan. And let me just kind of set the table. A lot of times people stereotype union people as construction workers. They see us on high-rise buildings and wearing hard hats and all that. And let me say this. We're much more diverse than that. And the individuals we're going to introduce to the Delaware Valley have done an amazing job representing their members in the same manner that a lot of our building trades business managers, our federal union presidents, and everybody who you would think is a union member. Well, I want to introduce, like Joe Krause mentioned, that the labor leader, or one of the labor leaders, he's now a staff organizer and a former president of TUGSA, Evan Kassoff. Evan, like Joe said, welcome to the broadcast. You guys have been making front page news, and it's one of the reasons why we took the week off from our Meet the Mayoral Candidate series, because this this story has been all over the front pages. So kudos for that. And if you will, introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners and tell them what Tugs is.
Sure. Yeah. So thanks again. So I'm Evan Kassoff. I'm a staff organizer with Tugs. I used to be the president of Tugs. I was a graduate student and graduate employee at Temple University for 4.5 years, where I studied music composition. I'm also an opera composer on the side. And, you know, I really like how you kind of introduced this. I know that, like, we kind of have maybe the stereotype of what like the traditional union person is. And like, the reality is it's so much more diverse than that. There's a lot of working class people, especially at Temple, who are working right now. Well, actually right now they're on strike, but you know, there's a lot of working class people at Temple doing the same kind of labor, even if like the details are different. We're still building things, if we're building mines instead of building.
Evan, tell the listening audience why the members are on strike, and then I want you to comment, if you will, on 6abc.com just earlier today. Temple University and the Temple University Graduate Student Association, Tugs, have reached a tentative agreement on a new contract. So I want to be able to give the listening audience, before you comment on that, I want to be able to give the listening audience some depth and some understanding of the issues with Temple University that have brought us to this point.
Sure. So, you know, we've been recognized as a labor union for about 20 years. And over the last 20 years, as you know, we represent about 750 people in our bargaining unit who are teaching and doing research at Temple and while also pursuing graduate study. We teach like core classes, you know, like English 101. It's not called English 101, but we teach like English 101, chemistry, science, whatever. We teach all those things. We do a lot of cutting edge research. And while we're doing all of that work, we're also pursuing our own like individual, you know, academic goals and whatever. And so that's like kind of what Tugs represents, is like kind of employees at the university or people who are working 20, 30 hours a week teaching, and doing research. So we're doing that work. And over the last 4 years, especially since COVID, right, the cost of living in Philadelphia has gone up 40-50%. When COVID hit, we were really on the, I hesitate to say on the front line. We were certainly on the front line in the education sector as far as dealing with, you know, students who are living on campus, undergrads living on campus. How do we manage moving online, moving virtually, moving asynchronously? And we, our union did a lot of work. I was the president of Tugs when we started in COVID. I wasn't the president through all of COVID, but we did a lot of work to make sure our members were protected and able to kind of like, you know, manage that transition in their work, and make sure that they were safe in doing it. But over the last 4 years, especially, the cost of living has gone out of control and our wages just haven't kept up. The necessity of having, you know, a lot of people in grad school, they're at that age where they want to start a family or they already have a family and they want to come back to grad school. I think, you know, maybe a lot of people think grad school is like Penn or Princeton or Harvard or something, but Temple, like a working class school, and working class people going there also have lives. They have families, they have dependents, they have parents or whatever they need to take care of. And the insurance that the university provides to our collective bargaining agreement fails to cover any sort of like dependent care at all. So if I'm teaching and I have a kid, I'm paying $500 a month to cover that kid on my insurance plan when I'm only making $2,000 a month. So the wages have been super depressed. The average person in our bargaining unit is making $19,500 a year right now. And that's just, you can't live in Philadelphia on $19,500. You just can't do it. And so we've been bargaining for over a year. Our contract expired a year and 3 days ago. And it got to the point where the university wasn't moving in a direction or at a speed that matched what our members needed. And we took this really, you know, bold and kind of, you know, kind of scary step to go on strike. And the strike's been this incredible experience, and I think it's really radicalized and really ignited a pro-labor energy on campus that has been lacking for decades.
And when you mention, you know, obviously there's a workload there. Talk about, you know, for, you know, so members of TUGS are graduate students, okay? But mm-hmm. at the same time, you're working as teacher's assistants and research assistants, okay? And you're mm-hmm. teaching classes as well. When you talk about teaching those classes, is it sometimes exclusively a teacher's assistant who's teaching that class? Talk about the workload.
Yeah.
And what you provide for the university, because you know you're not just standing next to the teacher, you know, helping with minor tasks. You know, you're doing some major stuff. Talk about that.
Definitely. I appreciate that. Yeah, like we're not just standing next to the teacher doing minor tasks. Even when you are just, you know, in quotes, a teaching assistant, you're grading, you're proctoring, you're running like kind of recitations, which are like smaller tutoring sessions with students in the classroom. You're doing teaching. And in a lot of cases, when you're just, again, in quotes, a teaching assistant, you're the one that's having the most direct face-to-face interaction with the students, because those people are often assigned to courses that have 200-300 students in them. So when you have a classroom with 300 students in it, those students are getting their most valuable education, like when they're having a one-on-one conversation or a small group conversation with a TA. And then on top of that, we have a lot of people in the bargaining unit who are instructors of record, which, like you're saying, like we're the full professor of that class, right? Giving grades, we're the gateway between them passing or failing. We're also solely responsible in a lot of cases for developing the curriculum, following through on that, making sure that like all the grading is up to par with whatever the accreditation requirements are. And so you have in a lot of cases, like, you know, graduate workers developing the courses that undergrads choose to come to Temple to study.
And so how does that benefit the university in comparison to if they had to have somebody who was a full professor teaching those courses?
I think in a few ways. One is we're cheaper labor, and it's all about dollars and cents. Full-time faculty make a lot more than TAs and RAs do. It's a simple fact. And so if you can run a class that's being taught by a TA, you're saving a lot of money. You know, maybe 2, 3, 4 times as much money as you would say if a full-time faculty person was running it. The other benefit that it has, and I think the university really leans on this, and in departments they really lean on this, is that people who are instructors of record are thought of from a syllabus developing standpoint as colleagues. So a department might only have 10 professors in it, but if you have another 10 teaching assistants who are instructors of record, now you have 20 people who are thinking critically about like what we need to be teaching the next generation. And having that kind of diversity of thought, different backgrounds coming in, that's what makes Temple a great institution, is that we can have really diverse ways of approaching subject material and really diverse ways in which we engage with undergrads. Cause you know, in a lot of cases too, like there's like that age thing where, you know, I'm only maybe like 10 years older than the students I'm teaching. So I understand a lot of like their cultural references. And so when I was teaching music, I can engage with what they were interested in because that's where they were at, in a way that was, you know, more, you know, organic and authentic. And then they had a better learning outcome.
Evan Kassoff is our special guest here on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. On the other side of the break, Evan will stay with us and Belinda Peters will join us. She is a strike captain. We'll bring Belinda into the conversation and we will continue our dialogue. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by IBEW Local 98, UFCW Local 1776, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, and the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades DC 21.
And we're back here live on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, bottom of the hour. right around 6:34. Ed Mooney will join us. He's in a real battle out in the western part of the state with employees of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and an owner of the paper who doesn't care. So we'll get Ed Mooney into the conversation, J-Doc. Right now, we're in the middle of a fascinating conversation with Evan Kassoff, and we're going to bring Belinda Peter into the conversation as well. It appears that the strike and the effort by Evan and the members is close to an end, but J-Doc, you know better than I, sometimes that isn't always the reality.
Yeah, so they've reached the tentative agreement, Joe, and so the members still have to ratify the contract. But having said that, I'm ecstatic to bring in Belinda Peter, who is a member of Tugsa but also a strike captain. Belinda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and you know, the objectives, and this has been going on, these conversations with Temple University have been going on for about a year, from what I understand, and they're talking about higher wages, better benefits, improved working conditions, are the things that you're working for, you're fighting for on behalf of your members, and at the same time, healthcare, trying to retain free single healthcare coverage throughout the agreement. And you are what they call a strike captain. What is a strike captain, number one, and what is your role in the process?
Yeah, so a strike captain's a fancy way of saying we are a funnel for the information. Not to underplay the role or the title, but we ensure that everyone on our teams is informed, everyone on our team is stays committed to the strike and has access to all the information that's being shared. I'm sure you're all aware, like, when a labor movement starts, there's so much happening and people are in the trenches together. So to make sure that no one's lost and no one falls through the cracks, the strike captains step in and make sure that their people are informed. Yeah.
Well, and so having said that, there's approximately 750 members of your union. Yes. Talk about the morale, both when you started when you went on strike, okay, and right now, as you know, we're hopefully close to, you know, obviously coming to a deal. Talk about the morale of the members.
The morale's been strong. We are committed to fight together with each other on this. And I think the morale has been strong for two very specific reasons. One, Tugsa is a union that operates as a very democratic union. All our decisions, all our choices are made in a very collective, open session, open caucusing, and things like that. So we're always there for each other. Two, the undergrads have showed us how much they support us. And if you have been following our story, last week, we had a rally that was organized by the undergrads with the walkout at 2 p.m., completely done by them, and that boosted our morale a lot. And having public supporters and being a Philly union has definitely kept the morale up.
Evan, let me ask you, you mentioned in that opening segment how, I don't know if you used the word scary, it was, or maybe it was bold to take the step to go out on strike. And then Belinda, you hear Belinda's comments about how it's a collaborative amongst all of the members. How bold was it, or how nervous were the members when you guys decided, when everyone voted and decided to take that step forward?
I think it's bold and scary in that we're the only graduate employee union in Pennsylvania. And so whatever we do is uncharted territory. And I think there's just something about not knowing and taking these kinds of risks. But like Belinda's saying, like, we do this all together. When we voted to authorize a strike back in November, it was 99.7%. Yeah. So it's one of those things, you take a scary step together, it that builds morale instead of maybe like diminishing it. And I think like none of that would be possible without the kind of organizing work. Belinda is downplaying her real role, which is like an incredible organizer who has done a really amazing job, not just funneling information to members, but like really helping answer their questions and answering their concerns. Because in open caucusing, you know, a lot happens, and making sure everyone's on the same page and bought into whatever process we're doing takes a lot of time and energy and a lot of maybe redundant conversations.
Well, you know, having said that, Evan, and Belinda, we have about 3 minutes left, but from what I understand, so how's Temple University reacted to this? From what I understand, they withdrew tuition remission and certain benefits. Talk about that and how they've been throughout this process.
Belinda, you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Evan. I think admin has been... that has been the scary part, especially as an international student. We going into this was scary, but I think our morale and our strength and our courage comes from doing this together. But Temple has, one of our members said it, Temple administration has repeatedly let us as graduate employees and students down while our union hasn't. And that's a direct quote from a member. And they have let us down by using tactics like removing our tuition remission, taking away our healthcare benefits. I had a member go to CVS and was not able to buy an inhaler. I had a member who took their child to a doctor's appointment to find out there that their insurance was revoked. So these are steps that Temple has taken to scare us. Unfortunately for them, they have not been successful.
And having said that, you know, leadership at Tugsa is to be commended. Those are standard tactics, by the way. And having the support from the students has to be a great breath of fresh air. What happened? Just, and I know we got about a minute left. If that, Evan, you and I talked by text yesterday, and you went into the bargaining table. What happened there, number one? And number two, you know, obviously you have to ratify it with the members. Where are we, and what happened first? And number two, when does that come to a vote?
Sure. So, you know, what happened is we went in, did some bargaining, and they, you know, gave us an offer that they wanted us to bring to a vote with our membership. And, you know, we're happy to do that. I think there's a lot of strong things in their offer, and there's a lot of things that I think, you know, aren't where we want to be. And, you know, it's the role of union leadership, especially in this open and democratic union, to give our membership a really clear voice in deciding what their next collective bargaining agreement is going to be. You know, I think about it, they authorized me and other people in the contract negotiation team to go in, and we took that authorization to immediately authorize our fellow members to be a part of that process. So the ratification vote process is ongoing, where there's a lot of logistical things to figure out with that. And so we'll have, you know, more to be revealed in the next few days.
And good stuff.
Joe Krause, I want one thing. I just want the people at Temple, you know, obviously it's a big part of the city. Philly's a union town, and we are here for Tugsa, Evan, and I can tell you this, and Belinda, we're a platform for you. Keep doing what you're doing, and whatever we can do to help, we're here.
We appreciate you.
Yep.
Good stuff from Evan Kassoff joining us, and also Belinda Peter joining us here live this Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll keep an eye on what the next 48 to 72 hours will bring when we get into the beginning of the week, and we'll keep you updated right here on the Labor Show. Evan and Belinda, thank you so much, and cheers to all of your members. Keep us updated as more develops. We'll get to a commercial break. On the other side, Ed Mooney, International VP, CWA, in a real battle out in western Pennsylvania. J-Doc and I will go one-on-one with Ed Moody. Back in a moment.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. This edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Laborers District Council, Steam Fitters Local 420, and the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 542.
And back here live on a Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. We'll get our next guest, Ed Mooney, into the conversation in just a second, J-Doc. Pretty good work there by Evan Kassoff, leading Tugsa through what has been a long, long grind to get to a point where at least now they can go to their members with a vote to either ratify and accept or not. But pretty good work done by Evan and his crew.
Absolutely. And what's great about it is the support they're also getting from the student body. Certainly, they're all motivated. By the way, they do a large portion of the work at Temple. Okay, they carry a lot of the load, and what they're being paid, I believe it's like $19 and so some odd cents. But whatever it is, obviously, with the benefits they're not getting, and of course the working conditions, I'm proud of them. They're out there with a lot of energy, showing union strong. And so we got their back, like I said, and a shout out to Temple University, obviously a big part of Philadelphia. We are a union town, Temple. Get this done, and everybody wins.
All right, good stuff. Ed Mooney's going to join us now. Ed is the International VP, CWA, and I wanted to get Ed onto the show tonight, J-Doc, and only because I was discussed it by the conversation that I had with Ed earlier in the week about what's happening with the employees of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And I know the first thought is, hey, wait a minute, that's on the other side of the state. That has nothing to do with Philadelphia. Well, I think it does. And Ed, I want to bring you in, man. I was really bothered by the conversation just because the one thing that stuck in my craw, even when we were off the phone, is that the ownership group, they don't even care. They could care less about the employees and about the battle. Welcome. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. I'll let you set the table, with what's happening, and then we'll have some dialogue.
Great. Thanks, Jake Krause and Jay Doc. And I also want to congratulate Evan and Tugsa on a great job. Their members are standing up, fighting back, and also for the students and the rest of the faculty who supported those individuals who, as Doc mentioned, do a ton of work at the universities around this country with very little recognition. So I'm happy to see that Temple University came to an agreement there.
And Ed, real quick, I got an email, a text from Evan. And he thanked us for being on the broadcast. And then he said, to Ed Mooney, solidarity to the Pittsburgh Gazette workers. So I'll tell you, they're young people, and they have their priorities correct. They understand the spirit of union, and they wanted to pass solidarity on to you and your members as well.
Great. Thank you very much, Evan, and the members of Tug. So we appreciate it, and obviously we're there with you as well.
Awesome. Set the table out there. What's going on in Pittsburgh, Ed?
So, everybody knows the newspaper industry is going through dramatic changes over the last decade or so. We see it happening here at the Inquirer and the Daily News in Pittsburgh at the Post-Gazette, which is owned by a parent company called Block Communications. Their employees have been in bargaining for over 7 years with the company trying to get a successor agreement, understanding the changing dynamics in the industry. So in Pittsburgh, the Post-Gazette had told us from the outset of negotiations they wanted to go all digital. Stop printing, just go online with the newspaper, which we weren't obstructing. We were just trying to find out, these people are still required to come to work every day. There's got to be a logical plan laid out on how that transition is going to happen. None of that ever happened. And even in a digital environment, you need quality journalists. They have shafted their journalists worse than they've shafted any other work group at the paper. In fact, recently, the Guild in Pittsburgh won a basically unanimous labor board decision from charges that they filed against the Post-Gazette 2 years ago when the company's attorneys imposed conditions on them. The rest of the units in the Teamsters and RCWA production units, the company canceled our health care on October the 6th by refusing to pay $19 a month to maintain the health care per employee. We're in the Teamsters Health and Welfare Fund out there, and they had no choice but to put us out of the plan for lack of payment. That's what precipitated the strike. Several weeks later, the guild members, after they finished up their labor board trial, joined us on the picket line. And, Doc, to your point about Evan and these younger workers, the guild has tons of young, fiery workers, including their leader, Zach Tanner, and many of the members who are engaged in this strike with us are the younger journalists at the paper. So to see the more experienced and senior people on the production side, which are the mailers, the advertisers, and the Teamsters, drivers, and the pressmen, unite with these young journalists who are committed to their craft and want to put out a quality product, several of whom, one individual, the vice president of the guild there, Goldie, won a Pulitzer Prize for his coverage of the Temple Massacre in Pittsburgh a couple years ago. So, you know, they have good long-term employees that have been there for decades, 30, 40 years on the production and the printing side. And then they have good quality young journalists, and the company universally treats them like garbage across the board.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we just finished up a session with them yesterday with the production units, where now all of us go in together. Initially, they refuse to meet with people together. They still refuse, but now we bring every unit to the table with us together. So each unit can see that they're getting the same response from these union busting lawyers that they hired to administer this process.
You know, you got to wonder how, you know, Pittsburgh, major metropolitan area, how, and it's so sad because how they expect to have, and we're talking about mostly the writers. Is that correct, Ed?
No, there's every unit, right? The writers, obviously, in the digital environment, the writers will be the group that remains, writers and advertisers, right? If they stop printing, the pressmen, the mailers, and the Teamster drivers, there wouldn't be a need for them anymore. So they had people across all the groups, about 200 in total. But,
okay,
you know, we've worked with them during this transition. Obviously, they went from 7 days print. When I got involved 3 years ago, they were still printing 5 days a week. They're now down to two. And we worked with them and helped them manage those reductions in the days of print. But they refused to acknowledge that if you're coming in to print those paper those 2 days and you're still working 40 hours a week, you got to have health care or else you can't come to work. You can't take care of your family. You know, and they've contributed way more money to their health care over the years than they probably should have because the industry was changing. But as, you know, as Krause pointed out, the ownership owned by Block Communications, the two brothers, that they just refuse, is John Robinson Block and Alan Block, and they are literally the definition of blockheads.
Yeah, and what's interesting about it is how can they expect to have a major newspaper if they're not willing to provide benefits? And when you think about, you know, you're right. It's been a very difficult time in the newspaper industry. We've had the same, obviously, situation here in Philly. But Joe, if you recall, you and I were down there on Market Street outside when they were in the middle of negotiations broadcasting. What's the morale of the members? Because you guys have been doing the best job possible keeping everybody together. And you talk about having a Pulitzer Prize winner. How can they possibly imagine? How can they possibly think?
They don't care, J-Doc. That's the problem. I'm trying to figure out how do you get communications to care?
Wait a second here. Let me just say something. You know, this is the newspaper industry, okay? One of the things that drives me nuts when you talk about the newspaper industry and you talk about the medical industry, and hospitals is when they prioritize profits over quality, you know, work and quality product. And you're talking about a major metropolitan area here. I mean, yes. So it is a disgrace, Ed. I mean, you know, how you talk about that.
So it's ironic that you connect those two. It's newspaper industry and healthcare because their largest advertiser still remains is UPMC Health Systems. And we've been trying to get them to withdraw their advertising. Everyone else in the Pittsburgh metropolitan area, the community, they have canceled their subscriptions. The advertisers, we've knocked down their advertising by 80%. The political support is there. Everything you would do in a situation like this to bring the employer to come around to get their attention focused on this, we've done and done it successfully with the help of the labor community and Darren Kelly and the Allegheny County Central Labor Council. Labor's united. The community's united. The advertising's dropping off. We even reached out to the Allegheny County Funeral Directors Association, which, again, at sensitive times for people, they were willing to help us because posting obituaries in both the printed paper and online is an easy revenue stream for this for many newspapers, and we wanted to choke that off for them just to get their attention even further. Even with that, they haven't responded. We have a federal mediator who's been in bargaining with us now for several months, who is also flabbergasted at the company's responses to things. But to Krause, he said, the ownership right now simply does not care. They don't care if they were losing money. They don't care what they do to these employees. And, you know, we've been getting great support all across the area. You mentioned a newspaper here, the Guild in Philadelphia, just recently began negotiations for a successor contract here in Philadelphia. So I hope that a nightmare like this is not on the horizon of Philadelphia, as we have now in Pittsburgh for today's day, 136.
And Krause, you remember, I think Bill Ross does an amazing job for the News Guild here in Philly, and we love Bill. And in Philly, isn't there a nonprofit situation set up to help us maintain the Daily News, Philly.com, and the Inquirer? Well,
the entity operates as a nonprofit. I believe when Len Fest was the owner, and I don't want to speak out. I don't want to get into an area where I'm not correct. But my understanding was that when Len Fest owned the paper, the Inquirer and the Daily News, he put it into or converted it into becoming a nonprofit. So a nonprofit entity now is the signature at the top of the pyramid.
Is there anything like that? Is it a hedge fund there?
No, it's actually it's a family business. They've owned these papers for years. They also own the Toledo Blade, the Block family. It's Block Communication, they own the Toledo Blade. They own some TV stations. They own some cable, cable systems. And, you know, we've gone after the upper echelon of the company over the same thing, but these two brothers who are twin brothers, one is in Toledo, one's in Pittsburgh, seem to have a stranglehold on this. And for whatever reason, they are orchestrating this reign of terror on their workers there. And, if not for the support of the community and the labor council and guys like you two and getting this message out there, Krause and I spoke about maybe doing something that we can run on a station out there as well. The community support and everything else has been great. We got to keep banging away until something gets through to these brothers to change their behavior and straighten this thing out.
Ed, is there light? Is there a crack in the door? Is there any indication at all that you can have a legitimate conversation at the table?
There'll be no legitimate conversations with the attorneys they have at the table. They hired a law firm called King & Ballew out of Nashville, Tennessee, if that tells you anything. And, I actually just pointed out to the attorney the other day, if they're speaking about their issues, he sounds like he graduated tops in his class at the best law school in the country. If he switches over to one of our issues, it's as if he didn't get past first grade English, right? And I asked him, I said, is that a class in law school that they teach you how to be stupid? Or, because you have this act down really well. So hopefully you got an A in that class. Their whole thing is to just obstruct and drag on the time of it. With the labor board case that they just lost, which literally was a slam dunk in the ALJ's decision, they simply say, we don't agree with it. We're going to appeal it. We'll appeal it through the board. We'll appeal it through the Third Circuit. That's their MO. We've had arbitration decisions with the healthcare previously where they just didn't abide by the decision. And, they're just a toxic employer, and it's a shame that they are still allowed to own these properties. Here's how crazy they are. The mayor of the city of Pittsburgh came out to support the workers a few weeks ago. We still have a couple of issues with police officers, unlike Philadelphia, where they're neutral in labor disputes. In Pittsburgh, the association, the FOP, is supporting us and asking their members not to take shifts working at the depot as basically, company Pinkertons, but they still have one or two of them take them from time to time. So the company now has sued the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh and the police department for not showing up when they call them to remove us from the property because they're claiming we're trespassing by picketing. Right? They will stop at nothing to get what they want. So
yeah, how long has the strike been going on at this point?
Since October 6th. So today is day 136, I believe.
Okay. And at this point, you know, they're not budging, and the people, and are we getting a lot of support from the local community?
Yes. The community has given us a ton of support. The labor community, as I said, the Central Labor Council in Allegheny County has been fantastic. They're down there day in, day out. Other unions from not just around CWA, but in the Teamsters as well. You know, as I said, there's two Teamster locals on strike with us there as well. So
do we have elected support? How about elected officials? Any support
everybody.
There?
Every single one of them supporting
us. It is absolutely amazing.
If I showed you guys the board I have sitting out there with, when you go through this, you got all the things you need to do. Check every box, right? We every single thing that we have done has worked. We've done it successfully. They simply don't care. Here's an example. One of the brothers got married between Thanksgiving and Christmas at a club called the Duquesne Club in downtown Pittsburgh. We picketed the wedding. We have a rat out there that's given to us by the operating engineers. And the company now runs a full-page ad every weekend in the Sunday paper with that rat saying, scenes like this will not bring good quality, high-tech, new innovation jobs to Pittsburgh. We actually thought at first, somebody thought we put the ad in there to support the strikers. Because when you look at the ad, you say, yeah, we know scenes like this won't bring good quality jobs to Pittsburgh, a good union town. So eliminate the scene, right?
Right.
They're so out of touch, they're running an ad with the rat in there as if it's their ad. That supports us. They don't even get it.
Yeah, it's
right? We wholeheartedly agree with them. Scenes like that will not bring good jobs to Pittsburgh. So eliminate this scene by settling a contract with your employees.
Before we go, what's the morale of the members out there right now? I know you're doing the best you can, and everybody's, but this is just a disgrace, especially in a town like Pittsburgh.
So the members' morale is great. We bring members from each group come in. They either observe the bargaining process, so they get to see firsthand the arrogance and the obnoxiousness of these attorneys that the company has hired. And they're standing strong. They're fighting. With the help also of the Guild here in Philadelphia, they have a striker fund set up that the Guild here in Philadelphia is administering for them. They're doing well. We're doing everything we can to help them make ends meet and keep them on top of things. So it's access like this to get our message out will continue to help us, and that's why we appreciate you guys being there.
Ed Mooney, International VP of the CWA, in a real battle out in Western PA. Of course, Eddie, anything we can do on this end to rally and support is just amazing to me. Two brothers, the disregard for the employees just drives me insane.
And an injury to one is an injury to all of us. That's why it matters in Philly, what's going on in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want to give you a quick anecdote, and some of you and your listeners may realize who these people are. The wife of Alan Block, I forget her first name, actually, but within minutes of Kamala Harris being sworn in as the Vice President of the United States, tweeted, "We now have a, am I allowed to say W-H-O-R-E?
No, but you spelled it
for
so the
vice
audience
president,
gets it.
that's what she tweeted within minutes of the Vice President of the United States being sworn into office.
Quality that's, human being.
That's the character that you're dealing with these individuals. The two brothers who were born with silver spoons in their mouth, had everything handed down to them from their family, and they are literally an embarrassment to the family's legacy because their uncle, who originally purchased these papers, was a quality human being. He cared about his workers. He cared about the product. These two spoiled, useless individuals cared nothing about anything but themselves.
Ed Mooney, thank you, brother, for coming on.
I'm glad I spelled that word. I don't want to get guys in any trouble.
Yeah, no, thank you for spelling that. But keep fighting, brother. We'll rally. We'll catch up. We'll keep banging the message and doing whatever we can do, man. I appreciate it.
Great. Would you ask your producer if I spelled that wrong? Please delete that from there.
Yeah, we'll clip that out of the audio drop, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
You guys, thank you for everything you do, and congratulations to Evan and the Tugson members. Great job. Great fight.
All right.
Good stuff from Ed Mooney. We ran a little bit long, but we'll squeeze in our final break. J-Doc and I will have final thoughts when we come back. The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Ironworkers Local 401, Boilermakers Local 13, Plumbers Local 690, Roofers Local 30, and IBEW Local 98. Choose a Local 98 contractor.
And back here live on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Tough stuff. Tough battle that Ed Mooney's in, J-Doc, out in Pittsburgh. If I'm in a battle out there, I'll take Ed Mooney leading the charge. Boy, I wish there was a way to just, and it sounds like they've done that, just rally everyone in Pittsburgh, you know, and shut the city down until enough pressure comes down on Block, on the Block brothers, to get them to at least come to the table and care about the employees that they don't care about.
Well, here's the thing, Joe. The more things change, the more they stay the same. As you know, in America right now, unions are growing in popularity in record ways, okay? It's so great for that to be going on. But these situations, when you look at what's going on in Pittsburgh, okay, and you know at Temple, okay, with the graduate, you know, students. It just goes to show you that, you know, sure, unions are growing in popularity, but the need for them is has never been more important, okay? And the fact of the matter is that you look at two brothers that are holding literally, you know, an entire newspaper, countless employees' livelihoods, people who are scared. Who've been, you know, imagine it. You're 50 some year old employee working at a place your entire life, and you're nervous that maybe you might not, you know, there may not be many other opportunities out there, okay? And you have two individuals born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and I don't say that lightly, okay? Because you're successful, you run a great company, whoever you are, we need great employers. So it's not about, a union. Versus an employer. This is a situation of two selfish people pushing down on countless individuals, and who suffers? The entire city. Okay, this is the new. This is a problem in the newspaper business when you prioritize profits over quality. Okay, because they're not going to be able to afford, and no good writers are going to want to go there. No other good employees are going to want to go there, and so. Obviously, they have our support. Obviously, Ed Mooney's doing a great job with the CWA. And, you know, I'm proud to know, by the way, Bill Ross. Shout out to Bill Ross here in Philly fighting a good fight here. And so you said it best, man. We're there for them.
Yeah, and, well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Special thanks to Ed Mooney for finishing us up here tonight. And also Evan Kassoff and Belinda Peter. Until J-Doc and I join you next time, I'm Joe Krause. See you next week, everybody.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.